Hello, I am Joe Simpson, and joining me today is Dex the Swede, as his YouTube channel is known. You want to go ahead and give us a brief introduction?
Hello, everybody. My name is Dex the Swede. I have a channel called Dex the Swede. I make stupid and silly video game reviews with a lot of slapstick humor. And if you like downright stupid stuff, then you should probably go ahead and watch that. Oh, and if you like video games, I guess.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I think really makes your stuff stand out is, in fact, your slapstick sequences. Basically, the opening of every one of your videos starts with like a just a short, strange opening of you interacting with video games in some way that leads up to the reveal of what game you're going to be playing. Do you have any specific inspirations or anything that kind of you draw from, or where do these sequences come from in the mind of Dex?
Back in the days, I used to watch these like really crazy Garry's Mod animations that people make, specifically like some certain YouTubers who just make these really crazy like animations on their characters, like really like unrealistic movements and such, and adding a lot of sound effects to it, specifically like Edit and Eddy sound effects. And I thought this is like the greatest thing I've ever seen since Ed and Eddy. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna tr like th that. It was honestly just a chance. It was like, let's just try this and see how it goes, and just to see how it looks like. So I made it for one of my videos, and the first thing that I noticed was that it was ex really fun to edit. And as everything came together, like if you would only watch the raw footage, it would be boring as hell because I speed up a lot of moments and movements and such, and then adding the sound effects onto it. Like, it's just so much fun to edit. And the final results is just like, holy shit, I did this. It's like, so I kept on sticking with it, and a lot of people liked it. And so, yeah, basically, like old, as specifically like pre Source Filmmaker animations, like when people were forced to use Garry's Mod because there's a lot of like stop motion to it, and that's what I think made the whole thing like unique, so to say. So yeah, Garry's Mod animations and Ed and Eddy, those are the main inspirations for those slapstick intros.
Very cool. Yeah, I would say that you are probably my main source of slapstick humor these days because they basically stopped making it after the 80s, which is just so sad because there's so many great things you can do with slapstick that you just don't see anymore. And I grew up with like the Three Stooges and watching Leslie Nielsen in a lot of his movies, and some of that humor just strikes it like there is no language barrier to that humor. Everyone all over
No,
the
it's true.
world can understand that humor. And even children at a young age. I have a daughter who's 3.5 years old, and she understands that humor. And she understands why it's funny, too. And it's just, exaggerated movements and things like that. And I would say that keeping that tradition alive has been great. And you're the only creator I'm seeing doing that. So thank you for keeping it alive.
No, I'm just glad people like it and you like it.
I'm guessing you live in Sweden, correct?
Yes.
All right. Is there a bit of a language barrier, or how do you think being a creator in Europe impacts your presence online or your channel?
Well, first off, I don't really have, like, okay, so English is my second language, and I don't really have anyone to, like, grammar check my script or anything like that. So I'm pretty certain that at least once in every single one of my videos, I have like at least one grammatical incorrect like sentence, I guess. But
It's okay, most
I'm
American
too
channels
lazy
do
to
that.
like you bring up a good point. Now, in terms of like delivery and such, I just go with, I feel it's easier to do it in English because if I would do this in Swedish, it would feel, I don't know, a lot more embarrassing, I guess. I don't really know. I'm not too used to entertain in the Swedish language, as to say.
Okay.
I feel
yeah,
more
that can make sense.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable in English.
Yeah,
doing
I've,
it in
I've
English,
actually heard that when in learning different languages, sometimes the second language will actually come through as a different personality. I have a
yeah.
friend who is from Uganda, and he speaks like four different languages.
That's
And
true.
speaking to him face to face in English is one personality, but texting him in his written English is completely different. Like, I'm like, is he having someone text for him? And it's just because the way he learned spoken English and the way he learned written English was so drastically different that it actually resulted in a personality change when you're communicating
Huh.
with him. That's actually really interesting that in terms of performing, your English language is where you're most comfortable, even though it's not your primary language.
Right.
That's
Yeah.
really cool. Did you, so I think if I picked this up correctly, watching your videos for the last few years, you animated your intro sequence, correct?
Me and then our guy did. Okay, the very first one I made, the flash animated ones that I made, I had two versions. The early one I animated all by myself. The running sequence was based off out of Mega Man X, so and the jump as well and whatever. And then the image, like the ground that I'm running on, and the bushes and the sky, or whatever, it's just parallax scrolling. I made those images in Photoshop, and it's just parallax scrolling, like moving from right to left. And then when I upgraded it, I had my friend Rodrigo El Cid, he's known as on the internet. He animated the running sequence, but he was too busy to animate the rest, so I had to step in and animate the jump and the landing and such.
Okay, so is animation, is that part of your background at all?
No.
Okay.
That was like the first time I animated something in my entire life, so.
Okay, well, it's pretty dang good for really being an introductory project.
Thank you.
You mentioned you had some help with it and getting it started and filling in the parts that needed to be finished. But it's definitely an impressive first go at it. I went to college for 4 years and I still don't think I walked out very good, at least on that level of things. My focus was definitely in other areas of animation. So did you learn to shoot and edit to do YouTube? Was it something you already knew how to do, or is it something you've had to learn along the way?
It's something that I learned along the way, because the very first YouTube video I made was back in, holy shit, it was 11 years ago, 2007, on this month. It was a stupid, like at that time, YouTube was really new, especially in Sweden. And for whatever reason, it was really popular to do parody dubs out of Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, whatever, but mostly Lord of the Rings. And you would see so many different parody dubs. And I was like, I want to do that. Like 14-year-old me, I'm like, I want to do that too. So I did it with a bunch of friends and it got a small following to the point where we made like multiple episodes that covered the whole movie, the whole first movie. Yeah. And then it was like, yeah, it was really fun. And like, we kept on doing, we went to Star Wars and then we went to Aladdin for whatever reason. And then from there, I just like, I was the one who edited the whole thing. My other friends were just like providing voices, but I edited the whole thing. And I started with Windows Movie Maker. And then I think like 4 years after, I upgraded to Premiere just to see what the hell is, what Premiere is all about, you know, because Movie Maker is shite.
It's like realizing realizing that there's a matrix.
Yeah, exactly.
The world.
But as soon as I like got the hang of Premiere, I'm like, holy shit, I can do so much stuff right now.
It is crazy. I had like a student version or like a base version of Final Cut.
Final Cut is good.
Editing. That's a step up from Windows Movie Maker, but even that was limited. And so when I finally got like a full version of Final Cut and then eventually getting into Premiere, it was a huge step up. I actually started, when I decided that I wanted to go to school for animation, I just started making animations, but all I had was Windows Paint and Windows Movie Maker. It was rough. Five
Dude.
frames per second with some stick figures, basically, is what it turned out to be. But I think that's probably one of the biggest things is just kind of getting started. So if someone's
Right.
listening to this and is wondering where to get started with video and animation, figure out what tools you
Yeah.
have and just get started.
And figure out what you need. If you feel like you need to have some intense editing, then the right program, you need the right program, Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere, if you really want to advance editing and such. I don't know. I can't speak for Final Cut or any other program, but Premiere is the one I've been using for several years now, and I'm not switching.
But at the same time, if you got to shoot the video, if you really want to get started and learn, if you got to shoot the video on your phone and then use Windows Movie Maker or whatever is available,
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
better. That's better than nothing.
it's like the more you use the program, the more you'll learn from it. That's basically how I've been doing it. Like, you just get used to the tools and such.
That's really cool. In some ways, you're the third person I've interviewed, and all
Hello.
three of you have learned as you've gone to get to where you
Yeah.
are. And I'm jealous because I went to school and paid a bunch of money to learn how to do
Oh, well,
it.
I did minor in motion picture in high school, where we got to use Premiere and After Effects, although I don't know shit about After Effects still. It's just that, yeah, I've been doing it for what was it, 11 years, and it's like learning how to use Photoshop. You basically you stumble upon some tools. Oh, I can do this. Oh, this is the thing you can do. It's basically like that. You learn very small steps in the matter of, I don't know, it depends on how often you use the program.
I would say the difference is what I paid for was I learned pretty much everything in 4 years instead of learning it on my own over the course of 11 years. And I'm very familiar with all sorts of software, 3D, 2D, hand-drawn animation, video editing, things like that. So there's definitely a benefit to it, but every time I gotta make that loan payment to go to school for school, I'm just like, oh, is it worth it? But I know that it really was. It's just I hear all these YouTubers who didn't have to do that, and they're just learning how to do it on their own.
I mean that works, so
What has been the best part of doing your channel?
the best part is getting to befriend so many other creators and people. I had a channel before this one, and it was slightly international. I made a couple of friends there, but as soon as I started Dexter Sweet, I met so many different creators and such, both game viewers, voice actors, animators, artists, whatever, and I've been friends with so many of them that I like it's crazy. Here in Sweden, I basically have nobody to hang out with. I'm usually in sitting in front of the computer and just working on myself or talking to people, and knowing that I can go to the States whenever I want slash can, and just meet these people and hang out and just have fun and talk about creative stuff or something like that. Stuff like that, is really one of the most positive things that I've gained from after starting this. Just getting to know more creators, because people can help each other out, just support each other and hey, check this guy out. He's really good at this, blah blah blah. And check this thing that I worked on together with this guy, blah 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 blah. And so it builds sort of a community, sort of. And a lot of people, especially viewers, like that kind of stuff. Some viewers see us as a group or community, and they can relate to it and just sort of be a part of it. That I feel as a viewer myself, I feel like being part of a community, in terms of content creators or whatever the hell, really brings it really brings out the fun, and you enjoy it a lot, which is what I wish to create with my show and such, like have people like come together and like create this community and such. I'm still working on that, but hey, bringing joy is what we do best.
Yeah, that side of thing, like as a creator, like or as a creative, I find that for me personally, I love being in the like the creative mind space and working on things and, you know, coming up with, you know, ideas. The hard part is management. So, you know, once you were to have built that community, it would be like managing that community. You'd almost need someone else willing to come in and like, you know, be the moderator on your Twitch streams or being an admin on a Reddit page devoted to your channel and things like that. Mm. I do not have the mindset for that for that side of things. I mean, I could do it, but it would be so time consuming and it would take me away from being creative. Would you say that's one of the bigger challenges of being a YouTuber?
Yeah, I mean, just like trying to like keep the community going, I guess. It's more like I think it's also because I don't really know how to like keep it going, or I don't really know what to do in order to bring a bigger like community feeling in quotes. So I guess it's a challenge, but I try my best. I have like a Discord server and where people can like chat on whatever, and I don't know, just like social media works as well, like especially Twitter and whatever, but yeah, just like trying to like come up with stuff where people can like be a part of and such. That's the challenge, because I don't want to like ruin too much of the formula that I have with my show and such, but I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to come up with an idea of what...
Yeah, social media is a beast. I was like, one thing that's very unique, particularly about YouTube, and I would say podcasts kind of fit into this group too. Never before in entertainment, it's really the only area in entertainment where the fan base has so much access to the creator.
Yeah.
Like being able to tweet at them directly or watching their things and comment on their things, suggest things, give them money through Patreon and things like that. That is huge in terms of development for entertainment. Being able to interact with something you're a big fan of and have them actually respond to you in a positive way. There's no other, you're never going to get that through like going to the movie theater. You're not going to be able to immediately comment on the director or the actor's personal like page and be like, you suck or whatever. It's only really in YouTube and podcasts that you can immediately reach out instantaneously and just be like, you know, either praise or critique whatever it is that you want to. And, you know, that's one thing that is, I think, really cool and really could also be damaging depending on the community that you attract. But it's also, I've often found that what you were saying about community, when people are a fan of something and you're able to engage with them reliably or on a regular basis, they will reward you in likes, shares, all of that stuff. But particularly with some of my favorite podcasts, I've spent hundreds of hours listening to them, and if I get a chance to interact with them, it almost feels weird to get a response.
I get you. It's I mean, I still have sort of a smaller following, so that stuff is just like it's starting to happen, I guess, where a lot more people try to like engage in terms of like either helping me out or just like asking for my opinion or such. And I like it. It's it feels more, it makes me, I guess, motivated to like keep on doing shit.
Yeah, it's that interaction, seeing people's response to something you've created is really, really cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the differences between my commercial work and my YouTube work is YouTube, the people who are watching my stuff on YouTube, they're there because they chose to and want to most of the time. And they found it entertaining, and you know, I see that they liked it, and that, or they put a comment on there saying, I liked the video. In my commercial work, I basically finish the commercial, send it to the cable company, and they air it. And I don't even have cable, so I don't even ever see it really air. I don't hear what people think about it, other than the person who hired me who approves it and goes, good job. But I don't know what the audience reception is like on anything like that.
Right.
I can only go off and look at what other creators, other people have made for that company and been like, I can do better than that. Like, I don't get that feedback like I do with YouTube. So that there's that level of gratification. And of course, you know, you dread, particularly for a smaller channel like myself, you see that dislike and you're just like, no. So, you know, there's just, you know, you get the occasional troll or whatever who just dislikes it without whatever. But yeah, I really like what you're talking about, community. Building off of that, are there any other creators that you really enjoy watching yourself and would recommend that people who enjoy your content should check out?
Okay, I guess, like, the ones that I actively watch now is, like, well, Video Game Donkey, but he has too many followers anyway, so I don't really have to recommend him. Like Oni Plays, you know, Chris O'Neill, Let's Play channel. Then we got, let me just scroll through my little subscription box there. Oh, the Game Chasers, I really like them. We've got, I'm scrolling down to see what else. I think they are the ones that I actively follow. Like, when I say actively follow, as soon as they upload a video, I stop everything to watch it. That, yeah.
Yeah, I have way too many of those. So everything kind of gets shoved into a watch later list, and then I take like a day, and it just plays through everything that I haven't watched in a week. If I threw everything down every time a video came out on my subscription list, I would never get anything done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What's one of the first video games you remember playing?
Super Mario World.
On the Super Nintendo?
It's a classic. It's the one that I remember, at least I think the very first game that I ever played. It was either that or Aladdin for the SNES, but I'm pretty damn sure it's Super Mario World.
Okay. Mine was Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time, okay. Not a big fan, really. I mean, not because it's Turtles, but I don't really like the beat-em-up genre.
What are your current goals?
Current goals is to, well, I'm a little bit in a rut right now. I want to, like, at least the first goal is to upload more. I've been saying that for so many years now that I'm going to upload more, blah, blah, blah. And then it still takes over a month for me to upload a video. I'm like, I'm such a fucking lazy twat. Now, that and, like, try to come up with a little more ideas, because most of my videos take forever to make. And I want to, like, have some in-between videos that don't take that long to make, just to have like some extra videos in between regular episodes. And other goals are just like build an audience big enough, I suppose, where like not just on YouTube, but also on, like, Twitch. Like, I'm just going back to Twitch now after streaming on YouTube for a long ass time. And I guess just like trying to build up my Patreon as much as I can and such. Basically, what I want to do is to keep on working on this stuff, but it's going to be a little difficult if I run out of money because I need to survive.
Yep.
Which could lead to the point where I have to get a part-time job or something like that, which most likely will decrease the speed of me working on my videos.
Yeah, that's kind of the catch-22 is I need more money to survive so that I can, you know, make these videos or whatever, but I also need more time. So if I could if I could devote more time, then I would make more money and I wouldn't need that second job. I don't have the money now, so I need the second job, meaning I don't upload as often. I'm in the same boat. I gotta pay bills and stuff, and luckily my freelance work makes it enough so that I don't need too many hours at a second part-time job. But it's definitely like something uploading more regularly, and it's so it particularly I've realized with like personal projects like a YouTube channel that managing your own deadlines when you're your own boss, it can be sometimes difficult to maintain. I'm gonna finish that script today and then it's been a week.
So, like, I can work whenever I want to, and then you never do. It's like, fucking...
What did I do? Well, yeah. So you talked about how you were inspired by those Garry's Mod animations in Identity to kind of make those slapstick sequences. What kind of got you pointed in the direction of doing video-based game reviews?
Well, it's a little story. I mentioned this first channel that I had, and at one point I made like a voice impression video of a game of characters from a game called Heroes of New Earth, which was basically like the rivals of League of Legends at that time.
Okay.
You can guess which one. And that video got a lot of views, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make another one where I do all the characters, and that video got even more views. So I'm like, holy shit, okay. And then I like started doing like Heroes of New Earth related stuff, like skits and such. It came to the point where the actual game company contacted me and asking me if I could provide some voices for them. I was like, okay, cool. And that went on for like 3 months, and then I went over to Dota 2 and never touched Heroes of New Earth again. So I did the same thing with Dota 2. I made a voice impression video of Dota 2, and that one got even more views. And then I was like, okay, this is really cool. But the people who subscribed to me were people who only cared about those games, nothing else. Like all they wanted me to do was to keep on making like Heroes of New Earth or Dota 2 related videos. I didn't want that. I wanted my channel to be about gaming in general. So
kind of opens you up a little bit more creatively too when you you expand it to more than one game at a time.
Yeah. So it was basically like because this went on for like a good I would say 2 years perhaps. And actually got to the point I had a Facebook page for this channel too, and I made a post saying like I want to try this like video game review thing and see if it, because I've gone from like doing this idea to this idea, like let's plays, voices, whatever the fuck, and I'm like, I don't really want to do this. So I was like, I posted this post, I'm saying like I want to try this video game review thing, and a lot of people responded negatively on it, and I was like, all right, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna make a completely new channel. I'm going to get a fresh new start, a fresh new audience. And that's when Dexter Sweet was born. So, the people who followed me on the first channel, I told them like, hey, if you want to keep on watching my stuff because I'm making them or whatever, then come over to this channel. And some people did and some people didn't. A lot of people on the old channel are still like, why did you stop making videos? I just send him a link to my channel page. I'm like, here, enjoy.
I am making videos, just not here.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and there's such a big difference. Like, on the first channel, my main, like, demographic were, like, Russians and from the Philippines. And I was like, okay, these guys don't really know how to speak English. Not to be mean or anything, but a lot of comments I got were so I couldn't understand them, and it's such a big difference. Like seeing a comment I get on my old channel and then a comment I get on Dexter Sweet. On Dexter Sweet is like, I really like this because the way you edited this part is like really cool because of the movements and about, you know, like really like informative criticism, you know.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to a comment on my old channel. It's like, it's like you made this voice bad. Stop it. Shave your beard. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, I'm glad that Dexter Sweet is working out.
What is your favorite video that you've made and why?
Ooh, I get that question a lot, but I don't really have a solid answer.
What's one that stands out to you that you're proud of?
I remember the very first one that I was really proud of back in the day was the Aladdin video that I made. Because I feel like, sure, I had the formula set down for me, but I feel like that one, like, I really established the formula, like, to 100%. And just a working process on that video took so long. I got sick. I had to wait for props. I had to wait for a friend of mine to help me out with the video, with effects and such. It was just a long process. And when I finally finished the video, I'm like, okay, this is really good. Because I had a lot of time to work on it. I really enjoyed the Resident Evil video I made recently, but nobody watched that. Mischief Makers, I really liked. I feel there were a lot of good timing to the slapstick humor in that video. I was glad that I finally were able to make the iToy Play video after trying to make it for 2 years. and the Rayman TV show one is one that I feel I thought it was gonna be bad when I was working on it, but then it turned out really good. So yeah.
Pretty much every video for me is the creative process goes while I'm writing it and capturing the game footage. I think I'm like some sort of like comedic genius, and then while I'm recording it, I'm like, I am an idiot. This is the worst thing I've ever done. And then in editing, when I start putting it together, it kind of meets somewhere in the middle where I'm like, oh, this isn't quite as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah. I mean, I despise writing. Like it's not that I hate what I write. It's just that I hate writing. So it takes a while for me to finish a script. And sometimes I'm like, this joke is kind of stupid, or maybe I feel like the timing is going to be off or whatever. But once I'm editing the joke or whatever, I feel like, oh, no, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, it's a little crazy how editing can impact, like, when you're performing the joke or the gag, you can feel like this is not going to pay off. And then when you, through the power of editing, humor, you know.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun when you start editing and putting it together and you're starting to see it actually, because it's kind of hard to see that big picture when you're in production. But you mentioned the Resident Evil video. I actually really liked that one. You did it. That was good one. I thought it was a really great look at remakes in general and how studios should take some cues.
Exactly. It's one of my favorite games. So
we'll end with, what are some games you're playing these days?
Oh, these days, I'm playing a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's a little good time waster, I guess. I sometimes go back to Smash Brothers, like on the Wii U, play some online or whatever. Like, that's what I'm playing right now, like, actively. I bought a bunch of games, like the new South Park game and like Dishonored 2, but I haven't really finished them. And Persona 5, again, I played it for like 2 hours, but I haven't picked it up again. So there are a lot of games that I still need to play, but I'm just like, I'm gonna play some more PUBG.
I get about 20 hours into a game, and then a new game comes out, and I'm like, oh well, I want to play that new.
I mean, 20 hours is good. I'm lucky if I reach like four.
I just picked up Monster Hunter World, and
oh yeah.
It's all I can think about. It's so good.
I never played a Monster Hunter game.
This would be the one to maybe get started on. It's definitely the most newcomer friendly of any.
What is it for?
PS4 and Xbox One, and then PC later on.
PC later on. I might get it for PC then, because I enjoy playing those kind of games on PC. Like I feel like I have fast access if it's on PC. It's just like when I have to play it on PS4, I have to go to the couch, I have to turn on the TV, I have to turn off the PlayStation, I have to do all that shit. But since I'm sitting in front of my computer anyways, I'm like, double click and the game starts.
This has been the newest episode of ReviewTubers with Dex the Swede. Thank you for joining me, Dex. And
thank you for having me. See you around.